All right, call the meeting to order. Roll call.
Murphy?
Here.
Buffo?
Here.
Morris?
Here.
Perry?
Here.
Payne?
Yes.
Stuber?
Here.
Trulock?
Here.
All right, join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we invite you to remain standing if you wish as we give our invocation. Lord, we come to you tonight and we just thank you for your wisdom. We ask you, Father, to be with us and guide us in the decisions that need to be made tonight. And Lord, we trust you that we will hear the hearts of our people. We will hear their concerns, and Father, we will take those to heart and do what's best for this community. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Go ahead and do public comments. It's all you.
It's all me. And I know you're being recorded. Is there a microphone up here?
Yes, there is. Apparently covered up.
Apparently. Forgive me, my foot's bothering me. I'm not going to stand for this. I'm here for the same reason I have been for the last three times I was here. Back in August, the board, this body, sent me a letter about some deficiencies in my property. I wasn't clear on what they wanted, so I came in and I addressed the board. At that meeting, one of the deficiencies was my classic sports car. I asked if I really had to tag it in order for it to be legal. Terrence said that under a Supreme Court ruling, all I had to do was cover it, that I didn't actually have to tag it because a car cover was considered a cover, it did not need to be a structure. I complied with that. I tried to get clarification on what debris meant, because I have very little debris in my yard and most of it was left over from the tree cutting. So I got another letter in November. I came back to the board. Excuse me, let me go back a minute. At my first meeting afterwards, while I was addressing the board on that, I got zero. It was very quiet. So I sent an email to, I don't even know what you call him, President Murphy. And I said, I don't think I got through. Was I being stupid? What? He said, no, I think you made some very good comments. He said, I think they're digesting what you said and you'll get answers at the next meeting. So I came back to the next meeting and I presented the same information and I still got nothing. November, I got the letter was dated in October for a deadline in November. I again got the same letter. You know, move your car, get rid of your camper, or pour something underneath it, come into compliance. So I again came to a board meeting and I asked for some clarification. Again, I got nothing. So again, I sent an email to President Murphy. This time it came back with, look, you said your yard needed some work, you've done nothing, just come in compliance. I don't want to talk about compliance, okay? I want clarification. I understand compliance, but let's be honest. There's a lot of people here tonight that aren't in compliance with some of the ordinances. I don't know for certain, but I would guess there's probably several people here who walk outside of their door every day with a concealed firearm in Tolono. That's a $25 violation. It's on the books. There is also, this meeting kind of annoys me because you get together and send me dirty letters. There's an ordinance on the book that says you can each be fined $25 for holding a meeting that annoys me. It's on there, look it up, passed in 1893. I also have a complaint with the fact that I, as a citizen, can't look through the ordinances and understand them to a level that I can bring myself into compliance. Why is it that I have to come to this body four times asking for clarification? I was told I would get pictures. I get two pictures taken from across the street. They don't show any details, nothing circled. It's just two pictures of the front of my house and my yard taken approximately 2.5 months apart. I get it. We got a time lapse thing going on. Which, by the way, the pictures are very different, so the whole I don't see any changes. All I'm asking for is, can instead of a generic debris throughout the yard, can I get some specifics? What do you want me to address? What does the body want me to address? You know, we'll work on the RV thing later. I still don't understand why I can park two trucks on the gravel driveway in front of 403 James, but I can't park one camper. Never gonna understand that, but we'll work on it. I guess I'll just move those out of town until we're done fighting over it. But I need some specifics. See, after coming to the board 4 times asking for clarification, getting 2 separate letters sent to me, the very next thing I get from the board is a letter from your attorney reiterating the exact same wording, saying, oh, this time we're not only not going to give you answers, but we're going to take you to court for it. I'm super frustrated. I don't even know where to go. Y'all spend an hour and a half discussing, you know, whether or not people should be able to put lights on the side of their house and other homeowners association crap. But I can't get a single answer about what do you want me to do to come into compliance. That's all I can really say. I'm frustrated. I just want answers. I refuse to simply go out and get rid of everything in my yard to make sure I'm in compliance. You know, that would be kind of silly. At the same time, I'm not going to deal with going to court and getting all kinds of fines racked up on me just simply because I don't understand what y'all want. While we're at it, I'm going to express my frustration at the process in general. It was explained to me that the way that you address compliance issues is that you wait until a neighbor complains. And once you get a neighbor complaint, then you send an officer out, and the officer scans your yard for absolutely every possible code violation or ordinance violation. And then the letters start. So what this is telling me is that there's no equal protection under the law as is addressed in the 14th Amendment. The only protection that we're given is that we have to be really, really nice to our neighbors so that they don't call a village and complain. I've had my 5 minutes, I've said my piece.
If you have answers for me, I would greatly appreciate it. If not.
How about this? I'm gonna have our officer that wrote the original thing up come back by and actually write a detailed what he sees, what he's describing as that.
How about this?
And maybe he can even stop by and talk to you.
I was going to say, how about have him call me before he comes and we'll set up a time and look at it.
I think he's having Officer Gibson do it, and he works evenings, so you're probably home in the evenings.
I'm a concrete carpenter. I'm home a lot.
Okay.
It's December going into January.
That's true.
I'm
not the best time
right
for concrete.
So.
You know. All right, well, I'll have him stop by, and he can visit with you and kind of walk you through it,
what they're thinking. If you could.
Because I was going to stop by before the meeting, and I didn't get a ton. So.
Just so that we're clear, I know they were included in the original letter, but I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
Brandy.
Would it be possible for me to stop by tomorrow afternoon or Thursday afternoon and get a copy of the ordinances that are being quoted in the letter? Because I looked through all the ones online and I can't find
Well, as to the ordinances, we are going through the codification process. I've gone through and the ones I want changed, I've got highlighted, and they're kind of waiting on me to push them back or other board members to add their 2 cents to them. So that's what we're waiting out with the ordinances.
Okay.
Eventually we'll have the $25 fine things fixed.
Can you understand where I'm coming from on that? See, the body that sits before me, along with the village employees, hold an unfair advantage over the citizens in that y'all know which ordinances that you're enforcing and which ones you're not. The only thing I can do is either come to a board meeting, make an ass of myself, ask all kinds of questions that don't get answered, and then get frustrated. Or I can go online and look up the ordinances that are presented online.
And good luck finding
and try
the
to
right
make
ordinance.
Heads or tails of them, try to find the ordinance that's applicable, and you know, try to live in compliance. Like I said, whereas y'all know what you're enforcing and what you're not. You know, if you wanna know, you pick up the phone and you call, and you call the chief. I can talk to the chief, but I have to call 911, get him to come out, you know, or not 911, I have to call, make a time for him to come out. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It gives this body an unfair advantage over the general citizens, and that shouldn't be. You need a searchable database online.
It will be if we can get them gone through and get them out there. It will be searchable. It'll be everything. That's going to be just our main ordinances. It's not our building ordinances.
Oh, I understand.
Building ordinances is another animal altogether.
As long as we continue to make progress towards understanding, I'm good at it.
Yeah. The offer still is open for the RV ordinance that they're quoting. Put your 2 cents in it. You helped us fix the burning ordinance, so it made sense and got all the garbage out of it.
I'm free all winter, man.
So, and Brandy can give you a copy of it when you come up to get it from her.
Okay.
And
that'll work.
Put your 2 cents in. Let's find some common language that works.
Okay.
So, but I think that's part of the, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's part of the building ordinances.
Zoning.
So we're
parking,
not we're not tackling the zoning ordinances on this new codification thing. That'll be our next project after this project. Okay. But we can fix that one.
And while we're talking about the website, I know I'm piling on here, but the burning ordinance that's listed on there is the one from 2014.
Is it?
It's never been updated.
Well,
IT guy.
IT guy.
Someone gives me
I only found that out because I was scanning through the ordinances trying to figure out make heads or tails out.
Well, I think actually Summer can fix that one, can't she? I think. So the other young lady in the office can fix it.
Okay. Well, so, thank you all very much for your time.
You're welcome.
And like I said, have him call me, the officer that did the inspection.
Oh, well, I think we've got your number, so we're good to go.
You do have my number?
Yeah. Okay. And I'm sure, I think the officers have it too. It's probably somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure. I've spoken with most of them.
There you go.
Thank you for your time. Have a nice evening.
Thank you.
No more public comments. Do you want to talk real quick? How long are you going
to
be? Or do you want to stay for the do you want to stay for the meter presentation? Or do you
I'm just going to listen to that.
Okay.
While I'm here, so.
Perfect.
Let's
go ahead and go with the meter presentation.
Okay. My name is Larry Parker, and I'm with Irby.
Oh, thank you.
And I think everybody should have got some handouts and a business card. Let me know. We've been talking with Matt on some possible new water meter reading systems, and wanted to kind of go through what the technology is, what the meters are. Got any questions or anything, fire away. Pretty informal presentation. And already being passed around, there's a couple of the water meters that we're going to be talking about. I'm with Irby. We're located in Shelbyville, Illinois, and we represent Camstrup Water Meters. And Camstrup is a company. They're actually headquartered in Denmark, and they've been in the business for several years now. I mean, 90 years, and they have been doing what we're going to be talking about is ultrasonic water meters, and I got some slides and kind of talk about that. But what an ultrasonic meter is basically a meter that has no moving parts. So it your existing water meters that you have out there have moving parts in there that over time wear out, cause problems, hard water, different things can be problems with those meters. Basically, a mechanical meter over time just starts failing, basically, from a standpoint of accuracies. With the solid-state ultrasonic meter, again, no moving parts, and with that technology, it affords you a greater accuracy to where we can basically warrant the accuracy of the meter. And give you a better solution, especially when you're looking at moving into some kind of an AMI technology for automatic meter infrastructure. test this out. Let's see what sound does.
How long do the meters last normally?
The warranty on the meters is 20 years, and it's a 10-year 100% replacement, and then the second 10 years prorated 90% and 80% on them.
How long is the battery good for?
The battery's warranted for 20 years along with the meter.
Good.
It should play. We've got the volume up.
Okay.
Your community relies on you to provide safe, clean drinking water. It's a trusted public service they count on every day, and every day you deliver.
It's not light.
Your community relies on you to provide safe, clean drinking water. It's a trusted public service they count on every day, and every day you deliver.
Well, Camstrup basically said our facility would be.
At Camstrup, we understand the value of the trust your customers place in you. For 70 years, utilities have trusted us to deliver reliable metering solutions. Our smart meters are built in our fully automated production facility to ensure consistent, high-quality products.
At Camstrup, we're working to solve the same infrastructure and water loss challenges as our customers. Through our automated production and through our calibration and testing processes, we ensure the highest quality, most reliable products that are engineered to last.
We have 24 years experience with ultrasonic measuring technology, and we always identify smarter ways of working. This is why we are the trusted partner for utilities worldwide. Camstrup.
Camstrup has been doing ultrasonic for several years. The last 25 years, that's all they've made. They quit making a mechanical meter 25 years ago and said, we're just doing everything ultrasonic. About 5 years ago, a couple of the U.S. meter manufacturers, water meter companies, went to Camstrup and said, hey, we'd like to buy your company. They said, no, we're not for sale, you know. And based on that, they said, well, maybe we need to take a look at the U.S. market, what's going on. And so they came over here. Basically, those companies wanted to buy the Camstrup for the ultrasonic technology because they're the leader by far in it. They've been doing it longer than anybody in the industry. And so now they've come to the U.S. They actually have a plant in Roswell, Georgia, just north of Atlanta, so we are a manufacturing product in the USA. So they've made the commitment to be in the US market. Talking about the meter itself, no moving parts. If you have temperature sensing, the meter will let you know what the ambient temperature is in the meter pit, along with the water temperature in the service, which when it comes to this time of year, start rolling into the winter months, that's a good feature to have. It lets you get a low temperature alarm. You can go out and do something with, you know, insulate the pit or whatever to keep from having freezing meters. Leak sensing, which is basically a percentage of the flow rate of the meter. A typical meter for the residential service is a 25 gallon a minute meter. And so based on a percentage that we set up whenever you guys order a meter, if it sees that percentage of flow for a 24-hour period, it'll let you, it flags it as a leak alarm. Doesn't necessarily mean there is a leak, but you may want to take a look at that service and see, you know, hey, most residents probably don't use water 24 hours a day. You know, there's sometimes, you know, some period where they're not using any water. Reverse flow. So if somebody probably never have seen this, where they actually turn the meter around backwards in the service, it does happen. It can let you know that. Or if there are some instances where they've actually pulling, they have a well that's tied in that shouldn't be or something, you might see a reverse flow in those applications. Dry pipe, there's no water at all in the line, it'll let you know that. Another one that's not on there is a burst alarm. Again, it just kind of works like the leak alarm, but just at a different percentage of flow rate at a shorter duration of time. So if it sees, you know, a more water flow for 24, you know, for, well, it's, I think it's actually an hour solid, it flags that as a possible burst alarm. And it just lets you, again, doesn't necessarily mean there's a problem, but you can be proactive and take a look at it, either notify the customer, hey, are you using this much water right now, or what's going on? This video here talks a little bit about the technology. Sizes needed for the application. Your residential will be the polycarbonate. When you get up to 1 inch or larger, then it'll have a stainless steel body like you saw with the 1 inch meter that was floating around. Why upgrade? I mean, this is kind of what you can look at with some of the old meters if you take them out of service right now. You're going to have the buildup and calcium and the deposits and stuff on the meters. Well, if you got all the moving parts in the meter, you just think about, you know, what that's going to do to the accuracy of that meter. If you start getting that buildup in the parts of the meter, it's going to have an effect on it. If you, I don't know when you pass that around, if you looked or not, but basically, you know, you can look straight through this meter. There is, you know, no moving parts or anything in that meter, nothing to restrict flow or cause any problems. Again, mechanical meter, as you see, there's lots of parts and pieces within that meter. And then, of course, brass body, depending on age, I don't know. I can't remember, Matt, on some year, how old some of yours are.
We're probably pushing 20 years on.
Yeah, you get some of them old enough, the brass had lead content in it. If it's ever, you know, taken out of service for any reason, it can't be put back into service. With this meter, you know, you have no lead or any of any sort or anything like that to worry with the meter. Kind of looking at the accuracy and the kind of where they fall in the middle here, this green area is where the ultrasonic meter accuracy lies. You have piston type and then you have disc type mechanical meters, different styles. But they kind of fall into different areas as far as their accuracy. Next slide kind of shows. With a ultrasonic, basically, and cutting it off, next slide will show, but basically you're over here in the like 16th of a, I mean, just minute amount of water flowing through the meter, and the meter, and it'll already start picking up and metering on that. You have to have so much flow, usually a quarter of a gallon, before a mechanical meter even start registering at all. And then you can see through the curve, you know, it's kind of, depending how it goes, the accuracy is kind of up and down. You're kind of looking at an average. Again, with the ultrasonic, very linear throughout the whole curve with the meter. This kind of shows you where you can see the gallons in that. But this dashed area is kind of the accepted envelope of the water industry. And but again, ultrasonic green falls well within that. You're getting, like I say, you're getting about a quarter of a gallon before you really start seeing any kind of good accuracy out of a mechanical meter and as it goes. Now the problem with that too is over time that just shifts down and gets less accurate. The solid state meter stays right in there. So there's definite benefit with accuracy, you know, going to an ultrasonic solid state meter. By picking up it's 0.015 gallons is actually when the meter starts registering. You may not think about it, but dripping faucets, leaking toilets, a flapper sticking or something on a toilet can actually add up to quite a bit of water over a period of time that, you just don't think, well, that's just a drip. That's, you know, not doing that. But, and it may be that, you know, water that you're not metering now because the mechanical meter you have in there is not able to pick up that at night. You'll see periods of no usage when they may have a leak where you're not monitoring it. You will pick that up with the ultrasonic. degree as far as, you know, for, like I said, the lead content, stuff like you do with the brass meters and that. These are some things you want to, you know, get out of doing any kind of a system. You know, you want to increase revenue through new meter accuracy. You want to increase accuracy because of just improving your meter data that you're getting. Eliminating estimated reads. Try to decrease your high bill complaints. You can go down through. There's several factors that you can look at that are benefits of going to a full blown fixed network meter reading system. Now, I've got a customer system. I'll log in and kind of show you the reading manager is what would be on the computer where you'd be in the office. That's what you'd see and log in and use. Then they also do have a reading app that works on any Android device. Again, I'm going to log into this so we can actually see some of these screens.
Now, you still have to drive around to read them.
Not with the fixed network.
No. Not with the fixed network.
Nope.
They can read them from the office.
Yep, they'll be reading. You'll get hourly reads.
Okay. Can the customer log in and look at it?
They're working on a portal for customers. Okay. Currently, no, but they're working on a customer portal. They're just not sure if they wanted to build it themselves or partner with somebody, how they want to do it, but it's definitely on the roadmap.
So do they read? Do they all read like a map? Where they all read together to get to our office, or how does that work?
The way when we actually, did you put a copy of the proposal?
Yes,
it's in the board packet.
In there, it's kind of a prop study that we did to kind of look, but basically we looked at putting the collector up on the elevator.
Okay.
And with one collector from the prop study, there's no problem covering the whole town.
And further.
Yeah.
It can go quite
if
ways.
There's two studies there. One is if you had all poly lids on your meter
that's
pits and stuff, you would have no problem at all. You got a lot of course, most everything's cast lids, I believe, from talking to Matt. In that scenario, you're still coverage the whole town itself. Mm-hmm. But you're probably going to need, and I think in the proposal we based about 20% needing an external antenna. And what the external antenna does is basically you would snap off that little antenna that's on the meter, plug a cable on, and it looks, I didn't have one to bring with me, but it looks kind of like a mushroom cap that you'd actually punch a hole in the cast lid, and it would come through and just like a little mushroom cap. It's very low profile to the top of the,
how safe are those with mowers?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Well, that's what I say. It's pretty.
It won't stick up beyond the top of the lid itself. I mean, there would be nothing that
I'd be more worried about a kid walking out there and beating on it.
Yeah. Or falling on it.
I'm not going to say you'll never have one damage,
right.
But it's
but our guys could replace them. So
it's very minimal, and it's an easy just pop out, pop in.
Yeah, they're $38.
$38.
So the ones in houses, that's not a problem. That's not an issue either. Okay.
The app. Now with the AMI system having the fixed network, that meter actually has two radios in it. So you've got a radio that operates on a 900 frequency, and then you got one that operates on a 450 licensed frequency. The 450 license frequency is for the collector on the tower that's reading the distance and stuff. If for some reason the collector was down, you had to get reads, you can go out in a drive-by scenario and read them on the 900 megahertz. So you do have it. It's kind of like a redundant backup scenario. And that's what that app on the... That's kind of what it would look like then if you was doing a read in a drive-by scenario. They're going to come up all populated on a map. as you're driving around, the red dots will disappear. And once they disappear, you know you read that meter. So if you drive through an area and you still got a dot hanging out there, so you need to circle back around and get it or see why it's not reading or whatever. But,
that install on the laptop, or is it only an Android device?
That's on like an Android tablet or our phone is what the app is on.
Is there a app that would work for like the Windows tablet?
Not currently, no. This just kind of gives an overall visual in a line that, you know, you got your meter to house, talking to a collector on a, in this case would be the elevator, what we were looking at. It's going to talk to all the meters, and via, you know, a lot of people, you can use cellular. We're actually putting the system in right now in Mount Vernon, and they are using Ethernet connection at all the collector sites, and they're going to data back in that way. It goes back to the computer at the office where the software is. Maybe you can just pull up the readings. You'll interface that into your billing system. So basically, Reedy will get all the account information from the billing system with customer information, account numbers, addresses, and that. When you change out a meter, that's actually done in your billing system then, as far as the process you do there, but then it gets dumped back into Reedy to keep it current. Again, with a fixed network system, it's reading all the time, so first of the month is read time or whatever, that's when you'll pull a file from Reedy to send to the billing system with the with all the meter readings for the month. That's what a collector looks like. There's actually two boxes with it. This is the base box. That's what's mounted up there with the antennas. And then you have two cables coming down, a power lead and an Ethernet cable coming down from the top box. That is, if you actually needed to go on site and try to explain something to a customer, each of those meters too also have optical eyes on them, and that's a little optical reader that you can put on the top of the meter, and through that tablet you could actually pull up 400 and some days of data out of that meter. You can sit there with it in front of the customer showing them when they used it, you know, that kind of thing. Or you'll have that capability to have the graphs back at the office too.
Now there's a yearly fee, licensing fee.
It's a hosting fee.
Hosting fee.
Yeah, there's a license fee up front initially for the license, depending on the number of, it's based on so many endpoints or whatever. That's a one-time fee. And then you'll have annual hosting fees on top of that.
Is that the manager software fee, that one time upfront?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then the hosting fees for you to, what's the hosting fee for?
Basically, you logging into basically, you have software on your computer, but you're logging into a
Your server.
To the CamStrip.
Okay. Is there a way just to host it ourselves?
Yeah, it's a hosted system, and the annual fee for the hosting's on there too. But with that, you're going to be afforded any upgrades to the system. A lot of places are really going to the hosted environment
service
because it's much easier for them to manage and keep people upgraded. You know, to everybody's kind of on the same version that way, from a, so it's much easier to manage software in that scenario. That's the main screen in Reedy. I'm actually logged into Mount Vernon's system right now. just to kind of give you a little background with Mount Vernon, they've went from, they actually still manually read all their meters, opened up pits, physically read the meters, put them into a handheld, keyed them into a handheld, and then they dumped them back to their office. When we walked in there, it probably started this process a little over a year ago with them. They didn't know us from Adam. Camstrip was brand new. They had worked with Brand X meters forever, and you know, they always had a good relationship. Didn't see any need to really switch necessarily from them. Sat down. In fact, when we walked in, they had already looked at everybody that was going to look at. They said, "We've done. We're done here." We talked to them a little more, and they said, "All right, we'll let you come in and present." So we came in and presented to them. And the water superintendent there, when we got done, he says, "You know," he said, "I've never was a proponent for solid state ultrasonic metering until you guys came in and talked to us and showed us what these meters can do in the system." And he said, "I wouldn't have anything but that." And then we're to where we are today. We've got about, in the ground, there's around 2,200 meters, and we got just a little under 7,000 is what their total system is going to be.
Are they currently using this now, or are they not going to be using this until all the meters have been
used? No, they're currently using it. As we're swapping out routes and stuff, we're kind of working around their cycles and route schedule. As they've got meters swapped and they're getting reads in with Reedy, they're actually billing off of them.
So right now they're using two systems, basically.
Yeah, they've got their meter readers that are out manually reading meters. And
I'm sure they're loving not having to read 2,000.
Yep. And there's, you hear the horse, when you got to do that, you have to pump out pits, you got to do this, that, because you can't, mm-hmm. You know, water in a pit, you can't read it, so you pump it out so you can see the meter. I mean, there's all kinds of issues and problems with that. Kind of slow here. Yeah, we've already got all their meters logged into the system. We haven't got them all installed, but
sure.
6,935. And you can group them however you want. Like these are all their different, they call them books. They still refer to books because they were still manually reading things. So they just kind of keep grouping them kind of that way. You can group however you want. Like we've got all the 1-inch meters in a group. We've got all the 3/4-inch, it's just, you can have a meter in 10 different groups if you want to. It's just how you want to view the data, present the data, and look at it. And then you also have, zoom in, you'll start seeing meters and stuff pop up, on the map. So you can see the areas, we've been doing and stuff. And with that, you're able to, you can click on a meter here and kind of brought it up big there. You can view readings right from this screen if you want to. I think this is the one I wanted to kind of show. But basically, at any point you can hover over and it's going to tell you during that hour we use 7.7 gallons of water. But you can start seeing when people use, when they don't. Somebody said, "No, I didn't use it." Usually if you can bring something up like this and say, "Well, look, at this time of the day, we saw this kind of usage. Oh, yeah, I did do this, or I did that," or And you can also look at it in just a readings, so that's every hour what the reading off the meter was.
Nice.
And then at twelve AM every day. It's kind of a, gives you a summary too there, so you can see what I've used over, you know, what at that point, what was the total use since that meter was put in. Kind of tells you what the average flow is. If you had a reverse flow, it's going to let you know right there. It keeps the reverse flow. It doesn't, you know, increment it on your normal read register, but it does store it in this register here to where you can actually go in and see how many gallons was used in a reverse flow. And there's those temperature reads that I was talking about. So you've got the ambient temperature, so that's the temperature in the pit, and you got the minimum temperature of the water for that 24-hour period.
So when alarm comes in, does it automatically send like an email or a alert,
you can set that
text
up,
or whatever?
Yes. They don't have it all set up for Mount Vernon yet, but I mean, you know, it comes in on alarm page, and then, yeah, you could have them come in to somebody. And right now, we're getting a lot of
drier, the ones that aren't installed yet.
Either not installed, or when you just install it, you initially may get a dry alarm, or you may get the low temperature too, because they've got the pit open, they've been working in there, so it's maybe colder than it normally would have been, so we see a lot of that right now through the install process. Meter performance is just, you can kind of do some checks if you want. Let's see how you got here. In this scenario, we've had 100% hourly reads from these meters. These here we didn't. So those may be ones we need to go look at and see what's going on. Is it, it could be water. You know, sometimes you'll see on your data, you will see a go along reading fine. You've had a lot of rain or something. Pit filled up and covered the meter. And it's going to have a hard time transmitting up through the water. If it's a scenario where there's water on a regular basis or all the time, that's one you're going to probably have to put an external antenna on just to eliminate that process. That's all kind of, you don't know until you get system, you know, until you get meters in the ground and see what you're running into there. But I can tell you initially with Mount Vernon, so the early prop studies they did, we had estimated needing 50% external antennas. And with those 2,200, 2,300 that we've got installed, and from the data we're seeing back, right now we're running below 10% of what's going to need an external antenna. So we're seeing a lot better than what was initially, just, again, with the prop study and stuff, that's, yeah, this is what we think it'll do. Till you get stuff in the ground, you never, with RF, you just never know, because there'll be a meter that you think, there's no way I can read that meter, and it'll read right into the system. Then you'll have one that shouldn't have no problem with it at all, and then you got an issue, you gotta put an antenna on it or something. I mean, just different limiting factor, maybe an interference of some sort in that area that causes that issue. But it gives you the tools to be able to look at that and go in and see.
And you also get a, it will show your battery status as well on.
It doesn't give you the actual, what it does, because I got that clarified today. on battery, it'll let you know. It basically gives you a alarm when there's 6 months life left on the battery, or what they feel 6 months left on the battery. So, and the other thing that's unique about this system that's different than a lot of the other radio systems out there in the market is these meters will ramp up and down to their power output. What that means, everything in a meter of any kind of technology today with an AMI system revolves around battery life. How much, you know, I want to get the most out of my battery. And what they will do with this, if I'm in a location, you know, they may start out at 1 watt of power, trying to talk to the power. If they read good, no problem, and not having any issues, the system itself will, through an algorithm, will back that power down to where it uses basically the max amount of power it needs to get good reads. Well, what that does for you is just extends battery life in the meter, because I don't have to use as much power and drain. If situations change for some reason, it can bring that power back up too in the system, so I can get reads. So it's kind of different than anybody else's on the market from that standpoint. And again, it's all geared around battery life.
What's the process of changing out a battery on one of those sensors?
You don't.
Sealed.
It's a 20-year.
Okay.
So basically, whenever the battery dies, if that's 20 years from now, or it could be 24, you know, it's just whenever.
You're replacing the meter.
You replace the meter. Yeah.
If the battery died in 10 years,
yeah. 100% replacement cost on the meter.
Do you guys get that notification, or would Matt have to reach out to you? Okay, the battery.
It should. If it's seeing that it's getting down, and based on I'm not sure how they calculate that other than it's looking at battery voltage and that, but yeah, if it got down to low enough, it's going to give you, hey, this meter's getting to the end of its life for battery. It would let you know that.
Would you guys proactively reach out, though, or would Matt have to reach out to you guys if it was still in that warranty?
He'd have to let me know. I won't know it died, no. I mean, yeah, you'd have to say, hey, this meter, and they're all date stamped on the meter there. You'd have to just get with us, and if it was in year 15 and it's going to be prorated, then at that point, you know, you might get 50% the cost of the new meter out of it, kind of thing, but it's not a total. The way technology goes, you know, 20 years is a long time on a system these days, so I'm sure there'll be more greater things out there between now and then, too.
Are these meters used anywhere in this area? More specific, like anywhere Illinois American Water is used?
No, not that I know of.
So I know our water is pretty hard with a lot of lime and calcium in it.
Uh-huh.
What happens when that buildup gets inside the meter? Is that going to derate the...
Camstrup says it's not an issue. And that's the reason they put the accuracy warranty too. So,
okay.
The accuracy they're guaranteeing in that 10-10 warranty. You know, 10. If accuracy fails off in the first 10 years, you're going to get 100% replacement, and prorated. You know, in the second 10 years. But again, I go back when people ask me that is, they've been doing ultrasonic longer than anybody in the industry. Again, they've had these systems in the European market for 25 plus years. That's what they've been doing. So they've got history. They got, you know, the data to back up why they're doing it, you know, with their warranties and different things, why they can stand behind it and feel comfortable. The other thing I got asked the other day is had a customer we were showing, and he goes, "Okay," he says, "you know, with the system I got now." I mean, just when we first put it in, we had so many failures just right out of the box kind of thing. He says, what's your, and before I could even answer, he said, don't give me the answer, none, you know. I mean, on that, like this system down at Tri-County, we've got 2,000, 2,200 meters in here. I've not had one out-of-box failure yet with that system. I mean, they tout a less than 1% failure rate, you know, on meters. And I can believe it, you know, from what I'm seeing so far.
This might be more of a Matt question. As far as freezing issues, do we have a lot of pits that are?
Not a lot.
Okay.
We do have a few that we probably had two
And they're more because they're shallow, right? Then.
Not so much shallow. We've got some that are right against the lid, and they don't freeze. We have more problems in driveways. It seems like, I don't know if the rock doesn't insulate as well, but we have more issues there. But other areas, like I said, with meters right against the lid, I would think I'd have problems with those all the time.
I think it has to do with soil conditions and stuff, how well the ground actually insulates.
And with these
flow through the meters at?
I think they have a higher bursting.
Yeah, these are actually tested to higher burst ratings and stuff than what the brass meters are.
Okay.
But yeah, that's
to
what he said. I don't
freeze.
Yeah.
But.
If somebody's been in the pit, leaves the lid cracked a little bit, that's going to be probably one that's going to want to freeze on you. I mean, that's where you know, getting an alarm notification.
Well, your bursting answers a lot of my questions. I was just, you know, being plastic, not plastic, but the material it is, if it was, you know, more susceptible to freezing than the brass. So that answers some of my questions.
You know, I mean, if it freezes, it can bust. I mean, there's a lot of pressure when it's freezing.
Now, the alarming temp, can that be adjusted, or is that a set? Is that a fixed temp?
That's fixed numbers that are in there, but it's used. I mean, the critical, I mean, I think those were like...
It says 47, I think.
47.
Okay,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I mean, but I think the critical is like 37 degrees.
Probably before the alarm.
Yeah. So that would give us enough time to.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, on the, when it's was like in the yellow, can that still give us an alarm?
Like that's just the different levels.
Okay.
You know, I mean, red is going to be a more critical or high priority alarm, than a yellow is more low priority. That's again, that's part of once you get into the systems, you're going to realize, okay, you can say ignore that, you know, that isn't really a problem for me, you know, or it may be for this account, maybe not for that account. I won't go through it, but like import devices, that's where you'd go in if you want to pull data out of the billing system. It'll walk you through the process to do that. When you're going to export, that's where you're going to export a billing file back into the to the customer. You just want to go straight to the alarm page, you know, you can do it here. Well, excellent. I mean, that's just kind of a overview of the system, what it can do. If you got any more questions or anything, I'll be happy to answer.
Just a couple on the quote here. Mm-hmm. The services, consulting, project management, scheduling, what all does
that
entail?
That is kind of it's a joint between Camstrup on their end and all the prop and making sure they do all the licensing and basically it's a, you don't have to do anything on your end.
Basically setting the
service. There. And it's part of our fees. We'll be on here on site, you know, getting you going, helping you, you know, make it work. That's part of our process too, sort of.
Then just one more. being an actual smaller size, is that going to create issues? You know, I know we've got a, is that a pretty easy fix, or?
As far as?
The meter actually being a smaller.
No, they're all a standard length.
The length is the same, okay.
Yeah, they all meet the standard industry lane lengths.
Okay.
Now, this one looks a little odd, because Mount Vernon still has half-inch meters out there. I mean, that majority of the town is a 5/8 by half-inch, which has not been used in a lot for quite some time. What they're telling me is you can't actually put a new service in with a half-inch meter anymore. It's going to be at least a 5/8 by 3/4, 3/4-inch meter. But that's why that, but that length is a standard lane length for that size of meter.
Okay, I didn't know that was a specified.
Yeah, it's kind of standard.
And you have up to 3-inch meters?
Yeah, we've got right now currently 2-inch, 3-inch is going to be the first of the year here coming up. We will have a 3-inch in ultrasonic also.
And these 3-inch ones do we have? I'm guessing the elevator or?
The Oaks, I think, is a 3-inch. I know we have several 2.5s or inch and a halves and 2-inch meters. I still don't know how many 1-inch meters we've got out there. I stumble across those occasionally, so we try and get those in our system.
That's the other thing, doing a system like this, you get your records updated because you're going to you're going to find what you got and know what you put.
So are these quantities from you?
It was kind of a guesstimate, because like I said, I don't know.
Yeah,
we have 1,300 services, and summer, 5 days by 3/4.
Summer conversation. You mean you haven't gone around and cataloged all those?
No, okay. Some are inside, so like I said, sometimes when I get in a house, I got a 1-inch beer, got a standard.
Gotcha. So the quantity's right, but could
the price
gotcha.
Could be a little bit.
Price could be probably going to fluctuate a little bit just because of the mix and how it would end up shaking out.
At Mount Vernon, how long have you been using it?
We started install in October 1st.
Not that you know, have you seen any pricing or cost increases for the customers? Because they're getting their water measured more accurately.
I don't know if they've had enough really to tell on that yet. I can try.
We should call them.
Just ask them how many customers complain.
Jonathan down there, he's happy to talk to anybody. So I'll get the info to Matt. He can, if you guys want to talk to him, he's happy to talk to you on it.
But they're having a company install all those meters for
them. Yeah, we've got a third-party company in there that's doing all the, if you contract that out, then you got to start looking at, okay, it's going to be licensed Illinois plumber to do it. You may fall in, I'm assuming, probably with prevailing wage issues and everything, so it does drive the install cost up, quite a bit. We have to do that, but
Matt, you can get this done, 2 months?
On the weekend.
I would say
on the weekend.
over the weekend.
I would say probably over the summer, I think we can probably knock this out.
As long as nothing breaks or falls apart or bursts.
Right.
I was thinking more like a 2 to 3 week windows.
Right.
1 billion cycles.
Yeah.
Although, if you know it's coming, you can bring on a few more part-time employees.
That's what he said. He'd have 3 crews coming.
Yeah.
In the pits, what do you have coming to the house and then going out into the house? You know what I mean? What is the line that feeds this?
Most of those are in, it's called a setter.
Okay.
So it's a copper pipe that comes down.
Okay.
So we don't even.
So it is copper.
Yeah, we'll have some.
My question is, do you find a lot of dissimilar metal when using stainless steel and copper, where things start to corrode a little bit more or anything like that, or is that normal?
All of our meters have been brass, so okay. We don't really get, haven't noticed anything like that. So.
Right. But when you change to an all stainless steel, is that going to be causing, will that cause more problems? I'm just asking. I don't know.
Has that ever
It's not came up to be an okay. issue. I can, you know, double check and see what. Yeah, majority of yours would be the polycarbonate.
Oh, you know. Well, that's not a problem.
Yeah. You know,
yeah,
I'm not a plumber, but I know that much. That plastic and copper, no problem.
Yeah, I'd say probably around 1,150 to 1,200 would be the standard
okay.
meters. So. And that's just the ballpark. Yeah.
All right. And then maybe another question to you more than him, but to power up the collector,
mm-hmm.
how much energy does that take, and will we have to rent space on the grain elevator?
No, we'll have to talk to the grain elevator. We haven't even talked to them. They have a radio antenna for the village up there now,
or
a radio
okay.
system that we don't use anymore. Actually,
oh, okay.
we let the license just expire 2 years ago, I think, because
okay.
the guys don't use them. We have, the radios are all piled up in the
garage. Oh, it's all
the
VHF stuff?
Yeah. All the trucks had them, all of our guys carried them. So we just got them cell phones and we stopped using the system.
Got
so we could actually take that down and see if they would let us put this up. We haven't reached out to them. If we decide to go with this...
Well, I was just wondering if we have to start renting space on there.
I don't imagine
there,
it'd take any more than that system.
No,
taking.
No. I mean,
no.
The picture of the antenna beam or whatever, it had the two antennas on for about a 3 foot deal. There's two antennas.
It like takes hardly any power.
Yeah.
Because I know we're running cameras wirelessly, and we looked at the power, and we can run them off of a car battery for like a month. I mean, we run them for a long time off just a car battery if we wanted to. They
Got
take
it.
Very, very little power.
Good. Thank you.
Where are we plugging this Ethernet cable in from the collector?
When I talked about that, there's a top box and a bottom box.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The top box is your radio, basically, that's going to be talking. So you have the Ethernet cable and a power lead come down to the bottom box. In the bottom box, that's where we're going to feed the 120 volts into. There's a power supply in there, drops that down to, I believe it's 12 volts, that goes up on the power lead up to power the radio at the top. And that's where you'd also bring in however you're going to communicate to it, either Ethernet broadband connection or whether you're going to have a cellular, you know, back to the, however you're going to get that data back. If your internet provider in town's pretty decent, you know that.
No, that's what scares me. No water bills are going to get paid.
Oh, no, they'll get paid. We won't have an idea of how much
No, internet is horrible.
It's
really?
Their equipment.
Yeah, I've had a problem for a long time.
They need to not have their equipment.
Yeah. We've replaced all of ours.
Yes.
So that's, I mean, you just need to, I guess, decide on that. What's
okay.
the best, you know, first communication. But it comes set up for either one. So just if it's going to be cellular, you'd have to have whatever SIM card to put in.
I reached out to.
Good job. Perfect. Any other questions?
Do you have any issues when they do the installations? And this is more just thinking about the contractors I work with, of them damaging the meter from over-tightening or anything with the polycarbonate?
Yeah, we really, it's, I won't say, there's been a couple where they've cross-threaded, you know, or
right.
something, but out of the 2,200 or so we've got put in, I think there's only been one or two that we've had an issue with that on. But no, we really, it's not a, again, it's a, you know, it's not a, kind of feel on it. I mean, you can kind of tell it's not a, not a plastic. I mean,
right.
If you actually, you can YouTube it and see there's actually people putting these in vices, trying to break them with different things. I mean, they're pretty durable. Anything else? Like I say, if anything else comes up, I'll get Matt contact information from Mount Vernon. So if you want to talk to them, you're welcome to it. And if there's any other questions, you know, funnel them back through Matt, I can get an answer to. But appreciate you letting me come in and present to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One more quick question. Yeah. What's the average temp on the pits around here?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Don't install some thermometers.
Until they freeze. Until they freeze. Like you said, you only had like two last year. Because I remember you having to defrost a couple of them.
Yes.
Brandy, do you like
I don't think they burst it. They just froze.
Do you like our billing?
And they called, the people called, and you...
They upgraded by everything.
Yes and no. I mean, it's an easy system to use, but it's...
Old.
I don't have anything to present. You can throw the agenda up there. Okay. All right, well, go ahead. It's all you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, perfect. It's a start.
It'll be a head start for us.
We found another repair clamp, so we've had five breaks on this main, about 150 foot. So that's kind of why we're thinking of doing a phase for water main replacement.
This is the weird one, the last break. And Matt has no clue why this happened. I have no, it's beyond me too, but... The last break they had, I had reports of people losing water pressure on the other side of town. Shouldn't have happened. Yeah, see, Brandy lives on the other side of the tracks, or other side of 45. I had reports of people losing water pressure all throughout town because of that one break. And we have no clue why.
Yeah, that's interesting. I couldn't explain that to you unless there's some kind of cross connection somewhere where it's like a main feed for something
somewhere else.
There, I said something to him that next week.
Yeah, and Brandy's not the only one. I've had a couple other people say that they lost pressure on the other side of town.
Yeah.
So I think this might be a priority.
Yeah.
And we might find something when we start digging
it
up.
Your system's certainly still a mystery in some parts of town. The more we dig up, the more we find. But this one, basically, Matt just called me the other day, wanted me to come take a look at it. So we put a proposal together. We have the phase three stuff that we had designed last year that didn't get built yet. He just told me basically include that with the bid package for this one. So we've got a little bit of time in there just incorporating that in with the contract docs for this one, basically doing the design. It's basically the alignment would be along Broadway between Bourne and Elizabeth. I think it's about 1,100 feet intersection to intersection. And we'd work with Matt on exactly how we would connect that in to minimize, you know, anybody losing service or, you know, depending on what, you guys do have a lot of valves in that area. We don't know what all of them do yet, but.
or if they work.
Right. Well, and I think a lot of them, I think he said work. They just, like, there's a couple, based on the maps, there's either something that's not found yet out there, but there's a lot of valves there that for isolation. So it may be set up where it's something that we can have easy connections to things without doing tapping sleeves, which just, they cost more money to keep people from losing service. But all that will be handled in our design. Proposal for our services to basically do the topo, the design, permitting, all that fun stuff, go through the bidding process again, is $19,550. Basically, that would
get you a bid price for both the Reynolds Street improvements as well as these new design improvements along this area. We don't perceive any easement needs or anything along this area. Appear to have plenty of right-of-way, and I think the biggest challenge of this one is just going to be mitigating some of the sewers in the area, but I think there's probably plenty of area to do that in your guys' right-of-way.
So it's just the highlighted areas, right?
Yes.
Do we know how old this line is that keeps going along there? Would it be smart just to go ahead and do that whole entire line?
Since we haven't had issues with it yet.
You don't want to touch it?
Well, I don't see the need.
Okay.
As of right now. If we get to a point where we start having breaks, then we continue on from there. I would think this might be maybe about the size of the chunk we want to bite off at one time between Reynolds.
Okay.
And if we did this project cost-wise, instead of expanding a lot bigger into areas that we really don't know what's happening yet. So, you know, this is something that, you know, down the road, we keep a log of where we're having issues, breaks, then we can continue on to upgrade some areas from there.
Which way does this water flow? Does it flow out of town this way, or does it flow this way?
There's two places it crosses the track. So it crosses at Bourne, and it crosses at Elizabeth. So everything's flowing south.
It could flow either way in that line. Because the feeds across the tracks are basically on either end of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would just depend on where the demand came from.
Okay. I was just noticing that it's a 6-inch line flowing, well, and then there's a 4-inch line there, so I would imagine the 6-inch flow, if it's flowing into a 4-inch, is going to have a bottleneck.
Like I said, we don't know sizes definite.
That's pretty standard with water. Water systems, typically you're going to size larger closer to the facility, or closer to the tower, and then it gets smaller as you go out, because
okay.
It's the issues that you guys run into on the west side of town where the turnover is not getting there and stuff, because if you had run 8-inch mains throughout your whole village, there would be more areas that were having water complaints and stuff because the turnover wasn't happening. Because you've got, when you think about it, you probably have more storage in your pipes in the ground than you have in your tower.
Okay.
So typically that's pretty normal. Is as you go further and further away, your mains will get smaller. You might start at 12 there and step down. Whereas sewers are the other way, build them up.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
And depending on when this goes, the Reynolds Street is still currently permitted under the previous plans. If it goes to construction this year, I think it would still be valid under that permit. We'd still have to get a permit for the other one, which doesn't change things. It's, some of these costs are just the cost. It's like you have to do a permit for 10,000 feet or 500 feet. It's not that much different. It's an application. So, but in that regard, you wouldn't have to worry about going back and getting a supplemental permit, just saying, hey, we're still doing this, nothing's changed. Lengthwise, these two would be about the same as what you guys ended up doing last year, probably a little bit longer. I think probably between the two you did last year, you're probably just a little under 2,000 feet, and this one's probably going to be a little bit over 2,000 feet. If you get Bob Brown pricing again, you can expect a similar cost. I think that was, based on the bid tabs too, it was a good deal. So we usually budget $100 a foot to be safe, and whether you're in a roadway or not, that can go up or down, but I would be looking at, you know, maybe $200,000 to construct all of these improvements, and it could go, I would say, you know, if Bob bids it again, is aggressive, I mean, it could be as low as $150,000.
Okay, any questions?
Bob, give any kind of inkling that he wanted to continue working with us?
I think he'd be more than happy. I mean, he does a lot of work in Champaign, so out of the realm for him to come down here. So
maybe find another late season project for him.
Well, and I prefer not to get into this season as far as.
Yeah, I'm getting asked constantly when he's going to be done, but
yeah.
If it brings cost down 50 grand.
Yeah. Well, it was like a 100 grand, wasn't it?
That was a lot.
I think the next two bids were, on his, he was just over 100,
yeah.
And the next two were like 143 and 165 was Drone and then DJ. Which that was closer where I think we had that estimated that time was grounding strategy. We budgeted for up to 200 maybe.
And it's hard to say until you get the bids in what's going to come back at it. But I think that this is a higher priority than Riddle Street. But if we do Riddle Street, we might get a better price to do all that at the same time.
Yeah, because the emergency repairs are going to cost us more than.
Right.
Doing this.
It probably costs us more than $20,000 already.
Yeah.
Maybe more emergency clamps than will be water
line. I think most of that line is emergency clamps. So I just need a motion to approve. What was it,
$19,550?
Mm-hmm. For the engineering costs?
I'll make the motion.
A second.
Roll call.
Bubba.
Yes.
Morris.
Yes.
Perry.
Yes.
Ping.
Yes.
Stuber.
Yes.
Trulock.
Yes.
When do you think you'll be done with that?
I mean, we honestly right now would be, I told Madison if we get approval, I would like to get out and get a survey as soon as possible before the weather gets bad again. So, I mean, as far as we're concerned, our workload would be good to get going this as soon as possible. So.
Okay, perfect.
How's tomorrow? It's going to be 50.
That's a good thing. If I had brought the survey equipment, I'd have been there. But yeah, I would say, looking at my week, probably next week, there's a chance that...
At the end of the week?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get it done at the beginning. Tuesday, yeah.
Right.
No traffic to compete with.
So
yeah, that's true.
I have a question. Have you had any experience with these kind of meters that were just...
Honestly, we don't deal with a whole lot of meters. A lot of that ends up dropping on Matt's realm. Ultrasonic is, in theory, a great thing. I mean, I see it used everywhere because the things he says is you don't have moving parts, things like that. And, like, wastewater applications for horse bins and stuff basically rely on these mag meter type applications, too, where it's basically a sensor running through a meter. I mean, it's great. It's just, to me, it comes down to cost. It's, you got what you got now. What would it cost to get it to maybe the system where you can... use the AMR stuff where you don't have to do all the manual reading as much. And then, if you've got a lot of meters that are 20 years old and you're going to have to replace them anyways, it may be worthwhile saying, what's the next best thing at this point? Because if you're talking about 90% of your meters are good, it doesn't necessarily make sense to do that. It may just make more sense to upgrade to some type of AMR system if your meters are compatible to upgrade to it. If they're not, you have to go to some other route anyways. And I think Matt was saying, what do you pay for meters right now to replace what you have?
$195 to $200.
It would just depend on what these came in at. Because there's a cost for the meter, and then there's a cost for the AMR system, in my mind. And if your meters are having issues, it's probably time to look at something different regardless. And then whether it's that this or not, I think it's a cost thing and a benefit thing.
Well, and you said you're having a hard time getting the meters we have now. A little bit. We had.
Not be able to look first, yes.
yeah.
I'm out of meters. I used my last one.
Last week?
Last week.
And you, how many meters do you need replaced right now?
300, 350, somewhere in
and,
there.
And,
That means they. Nothing. They're not working.
And after. These meters. Last about what, 10 years? Ish? Life, the life.
15-ish maybe.
Because I know all the ones, what, Kinderwood, we're replacing a bunch, and those houses are about 10 years old.
We're doing that. We replaced on the deer path.
Is there a 10-year warranty on them? Is that what they are?
I think it is. Yes.
So, most of the ones
so they're all breaking at 10 and a half.
Are very similar to what this is, where it's 10 to 100%, but it tails
years.
Off to 20.
Yeah,
they know that.
Most of them, if you get on their webpage and stuff, they say warranty for 20 years, but then you read it, and it's like 10 years is 100%, and then after that, it's very similar to what they are offering, I think. And we actually have one of the the meters, like
school district has
the ultrasonic meter,
right,
at the high school. That's the meter we installed last year at the high school. So
the only thing I was going to ask, you don't have anything over 3-inch anywhere, higher line, something like that?
Not that I know of. All like the high school, that's that, there's a 2-inch, I think. The junior high and UNE West, they have a dual comp every year.
I was having problems with that.
I don't think it's 3-inch, but they have a big meter and a small meter. So it just kind of depends on how the flow goes, which meter gets.
I kind of glaze over when you start talking.
What's the size of that one in the pit that Russell always had to read on Saturdays?
That's actually still one of the variables.
Okay.
And so, I mean, that's probably a 6-inch meter there.
But that's theirs.
That's theirs.
Why were we reading it? Just, do you know? That's a different subject.
That was,
sorry.
Something we've always done.
Our water
guy. Like, were we doing it out of kindness or?
He kind of recommended that we read it 7 days a week.
I thought that was supposed to be like leak notice if it all of a sudden spiked. We knew me prior to.
But I mean, you can see that
somewhere.
Fertilizer chemical season. I mean, you get a big weekend where, you know, they're out spraying, and you'll see a huge jump that way here with FS and yeah, Prairie. I mean, it'll go crazy.
So another question I have is, since we've had just one increase in water bills so
we've
far?
We've kind of had two. We had a big jump, and then we have an ordinance now where it goes up 5%.
So how is that putting us financially?
Well, right.
I mean, I'm speaking as a village trustee, so we can figure out how we can start getting money for this and our $100,000 water repairs and...
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to pay any more than I have to, but in the same token, I don't want to keep having, you know, $100,000+ a year of repairs, and we're not getting the money to compensate for that.
Well, I think we'll be good this year. I'm looking at you guys, because you two kind of have the budgeted. We had budgeted for the last repair, and it came in cheaper, so it came in $50,000 cheaper. So that's kind of, we did that with our increase to budget those repairs.
Would it be, is it very hard to get a report on like what we're paying out on water, what we're getting in, our maintenance? And I guess we should probably include sewage on that too, because it's all part of the...
I think we can pull that from QuickBooks, right?
I mean, I'm not trying to create a bunch of work, so that's why I'm asking.
No, but it's numbers we need to have.
Yeah.
It is, because I don't know
if we can compare to last year or you know, before we started.
Well, I know 3 years ago we lost $100,000 and we were paid $100,000 out of the general fund into it. Last year we did, the last two, I don't think we did. I don't know. Well,
okay.
It's a good question to have.
Yeah, I just start preparing us for this, you know, so that, hey, if we can increase another... 2%.
Yeah, you're going to have a rate increase just to cover the new meters if you're going to go this way.
Well, we have a rate increase built in to the ordinance.
I think you're going to have to go above that, just strictly.
Yeah, not, you know, we need
maybe over a 2-3 year period, it's going to go up this percent and this percent next 2 years to cover just this.
And someday we're going to have some of the same issues we're having with water lines as with sewer lines.
Exactly.
Some of those are
older
than all of us combined.
Currently, we're replacing like 200 meters. Well, like you said, he has 300 meters. And I know we ordered you. How many meters did we order this year? So say we ordered 250 meters. We have 300 meters he still needs to repair. I mean, it's just, it seems like every year we order 300 meters. Heck, if we did this slowly over the course of 5 years, we'd have the entire system replaced just off the broken meters.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing. You replace all these over the summer. Now you're going to have all of them coming due again.
I know, that's a good point. But if we did it over 4 years, Then that would stagger it over 4 years.
Yeah. And then you're still going to have two systems to worry about for a couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. Two water boiling systems, two reading systems.
And true. Our reading
still
system
one.
And software system.
Yeah.
And one of the advantages we can have is to build in to replace these every 20 years.
True.
And I think that's the point where we need to get is where, you know, that we're getting a cushion in there to mm-hmm. repair 1,000 foot of water line or 1,000 foot of, you know, a couple thousand foot every year, because our system's just at that point where it's going
to
happen.
Well, I'd like to get
quite
I think
often.
I think it's Urbana that puts away, like, they know they're going to replace squad cars every 4 years for the police department. So they actually put away that money. You know, every year they put so much money away. So that's the squad car fund. This is the fund for every 10 years we have to replace radios. So we got that money set aside for replace radios. I'd like to get to the point, like, you, exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. 20 years, we're going to replace all the meters now. So in 20 years, we're going to replace all the meters again. I'd love to use that money market fund, but it's just sitting there with a couple bucks in it.
It sounds like whatever way we go, it's going to be a 15, 20 year cycle anyway. So
yeah.
Might as well just, and with technology like this, in 20 years, it could be totally outdated, obsolete, to where you have to do a whole new system.
One of the things I did like about the presentation was, first and foremost, we've had how many people have come to approach this board about, oh, well, my toilet ran out for 3 or 4 days, and now I got this $3,000 water bill, and I want you to pay it for me. And so this will take care of that problem, because within a 24-hour period, an alarm's going to go off. I mean, even if it starts alarming Friday afternoon at 5:30, by Monday morning, when somebody opens the office, comes in, and sees this blinking light going, hey, there's something wrong.
Well, like Mr. Freeze, that's the
perfect
example.
I mean.
That is a perfect example.
It would only be 3 days. It wouldn't be 3 months.
And we'll know better exactly what day it started mm-hmm. and how much gallons they used,
right.
too. So that, make it easier for her. She's probably going to have to do all the calculations
mm-hmm.
on
well,
averages. And
I think we have homework after everybody gets back from break and stuff.
As long as
to go through that.
I can do a daily report. So I can go back 400 days or whatever. Usually I go back a couple months. Well, a lot of these meters I can't do that on. Some, even brand new meters, I would have to take the head off the meter so I could get a good enough signal to get that. So any meters inside houses, I can sit in the driveway trying to get that information, and it's not even getting the information that way. Sometimes I can get it, sometimes I can't. So
the second thing that I really liked about it too was he showed the amount of usage is almost dead on, like 90%.
Yeah.
Whereas when you've got meters that have been sitting around for 10 or 15 years, you're only going to notice the usage after it's ramped up a little bit. So 2 gallons could flow through that thing before you even start reading the meter.
Well, United Prairie's meter out there, didn't they say they have to really turn on a faucet to get a reading on it? They have to really, like, really put a couple gallons of water in it before it even starts reading.
Right.
So, and then...
And we've got meters, Casey's, for example. That meter, whoever installed the meter, didn't realize, apparently, that meters were supposed to be set horizontal. That meter set vertically. So that meter, we actually
awesome.
Replaced this year, put in a brand new meter, because that wears out the internal parts of those meters when they're not setting
horizontal.
They're supposed to have, you know, 3 feet of straight pipe on each side to get a accurate flow.
Right.
So, you know, you're not turning 90 into the meter or turning 90 out, which affects the meter case like that.
Just a useless information question for me. If you put a meter we have in now reversed, does it run reversed then, or what
it
does
will,
it?
The new meters, they'll give you a counterclockwise flow reading. We had some that were in lactose, and it will give you a CCW, and it'll read backwards, so it'll, you know, you'll have a 999999 set. So I mean, it's metering backwards. So, but yeah, I mean, you can kind of tell the flow or the usage, but it's.
My guess is it's.
Matt, how many hours a month do you think it takes your team to do this entire process?
Just to read meters? It all depends. Just to read meters, it takes me a full day with the computer.
Okay.
I had four guys out reading probably a day and a half. For that 300 meters, and maybe it was a day. Now we had a little over a day, I think, this last time.
So four guys at a day and a half each, so six full days,
yes.
Plus your 1 day.
Yes. Then, when we get our reports back, we get high reads, and they call backwards reads, which are either high, because they use a lot of water, or there's leak reports, so we have to go back out and check up. So, you know, that adds up to time. Plus, then you have, we always have some that, okay, these reads look wrong. Go check these reads that we did manually, again, on the side. So there's more time. Then we also have times when I'm going back out and checking my water bills. What's wrong? I didn't use that much water. That's when I'm going out and trying to get the reports with the computer. So again, that's more time. So
some of that would probably be the same with the new system, because we're probably going to still get.
Because that can all be done in the office.
Well, you would get a report about a leak, but you'd still probably have to go and look at something, right? So maybe that's the same.
So we can look at the report in the office, say, oh, this is.
Okay.
This looks like what it might be for, you know, your daily. You still have your peaks and valleys in there, so yes, you're using water, but you know, you have hydro flows at 5 or 6 o'clock.
So you're after the effect items. How much do you think that will decrease? In half.
So
the after read items. How much will that decrease? Do you anticipate?
I'd say it in half at least.
Half to three quarters.
Okay.
Yes.
And so.
Because a lot of this, you'll be able to, once you figure out how to use the system, you'll be able to look at it and say, no, you didn't have a week. You had Thursday, August 7th, where you had, you know, it looks like something was on all day long. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A kid could have left on a faucet, and then he found out the next morning, oops, I left it on.
Yeah.
Right.
Mom and Dad didn't know.
Right. I mean, we could take care of a lot of them. I mean,
yeah.
How many times did you go out? Was it Friday when I was in the office? I think we sent people out 3 times to read different meters.
I'm sure.
Because this person said they were leaking, and I know. I think Woody went to 2 of them at least, because
yeah.
We got phone calls in the office.
And again, you know, if somebody has a high read, and we tell them in the office that, well, you might have a leak, and we go out and we look at the face of the meter and it's not spinning, it's like, well, it's not leaking right now. I did one leak report that I could actually get a report on. It was 3 days, 7,500 gallons. So they were running 100 gallons of water per hour for 3 straight days. And it showed up in there, and it's like you can't dispute the information. You get the information on the computer, and it's like, okay, this is what your usage is. You had 2,400 gallons in, you know, on this day.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be nice to have that information, be able to access that information instead of possibly being able to, or well, the batteries are dead. Sorry, we can't get that to you. So, yep, it's not leaking. Well,
so
that still doesn't give a good answer to what's really happening within their house.
There's no doubt. It was impressive.
Yeah.
The presentation was impressive.
Yeah.
The features are pretty impressive.
Right.
The benefits to the village, pretty impressive.
Right.
So I'm hearing 7 full days to read meters, and then what is your best guess on, so 7 full days a month, right? To read meters, but then, right, not 24 hour days. And then what's your best guess on all this, how long this follow-up stuff is taking every month? Just your...
It all depends. I mean, it all depends on how many work orders come in. You know, usually you get the bill sent out, that's when you start getting the phone calls. Do you have any idea, Brandy, how many work orders you have?
So just on his information alone, we're spending about $15,000 a year, mm-hmm. roughly.
Mm-hmm.
On just to get them read so we can bill people. If you cut that by 3/4, you're down to about $3,500 a year instead.
Yeah, there's $3,600 with their software costs a year.
Uh-huh. And then and then you're not talking about repairing and trying to fix stuff and.
So, well, the nice thing too is when they get the app up and going, which I'm sure they will within the next year or two, people can check their own just like you do your power. Mm-hmm. You can see exactly what days you're using more power and. You can, hey, filled my pool, this is what my bill's going to be.
And we do have another metering system, another company coming in to the next meeting to kind of do another presentation. So we'll kind of get two back-to-back here to kind of get your input on those. So.
Perfect.
So that'll be January 3rd?
This next month, kind of log that time, or maybe even over the next few months, log that. Just a quick, how long is the follow up taking? That would be helpful when we look to analyze costs versus what we're spending now. Thank you.
January 2nd.
Yes, January 2nd is the Wednesday. Excuse me.
You scared me for a second.
Yeah,
me too.
I just went, what?
January, Tuesday, I don't know. Yeah. So, yes, January 2nd.
Are you saying you can't make it on the 1st?
No, I said the 3rd.
I got no place else to be other than
I
work.
I said the 3rd. When I asked Matt.
You can't deal on January 3rd either.
Whatever. Been here on my birthday.
I have been here on my birthday too. All right. And then, what else, Matt? You said you had a whole list of things.
Yeah, I'll kind of go through this one quick.
It is like.
We already talked about the water main. Tree cutting. We got that completed. Leaf with us from Joe McGrow. They took care of that. I had them take a couple of the trees out. We swapped a couple of trees out with them. We still came in under the 7,800. So yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we're about grinding stumps, trying to get that squared away. R&R Services, they will be here. Pencil down on their calendar between the 26th and the 28th. To do clean up and dump. So we're hoping to get that all taken care of. So.
And when will you guys be out there clearing it up for them?
It's already done, right?
It's already done.
So there's been work done out there.
Site prep's already done?
We're pretty well.
Yeah. I thought they were already out there because it was somewhat cleaned up.
It's better. Definitely better.
Okay.
That was a compliment, by the way. Sorry.
Thank you. I put estimates that everybody's spot there. I got three different
estimates for what?
And this was for the plow and the spreader and that ditch. What I'm trying to do is get both trucks set up the same. So that if one truck goes down and one spreader or one plow goes down, we can swap them, I got one price from Bonnell, which is where we actually got the weed back at. They actually have a used plow and a used hitch that comes in way, way under what my price, my thought was on that. And then they also have, I can also get a brand new stainless steel spreader for that truck, which would have both the big trucks spreading salt, which I think is a better application for those instead of the small trucks. It's hard wear and tear on those trucks. Trying to keep the salt out of those so they're not getting ate up so bad. We've got the one spreader that's newer, it's a little bit better shape than the other spreader we're trying to get rid of. So that is my thought. Get rid of the older spreader, the drop-in spreader for the one-ton truck. We'll keep all the plows that we currently have. Try and trade in the plow either from the new truck or the cheap to get that used Wausau plow. Like I said, that would kind of match up with what we've got. It's a better in-town plow than the other two plows that we have. And so the Bonnell quote with the used plow, the hitch, the stainless steel spreader, and installation is $7,920, which that comes in under the price of just the plow on the other two quotes. So, and we can take that truck up there and they can have that done in a day, drive it back, and we're ready to go. That's the direction I'd like to go with that. That way, like I said, both trucks are set up the same. You can hop in one or the other. They operate the same. So, and I think I had $8,000 budgeted for I was thinking about putting a drop-in spreader in one of the big trucks. I think just the tailgate spreader is a better option for that anyhow. So,
on the lawn bid, they got the trade on the Ford truck. I'm guessing the old spreader from the Ford.
Actually, the spreaders that
we've
got are
junk. Yeah, I was wondering. And then it has two plows on there as a trade. And where's the second plow coming from?
The one is the plow that came with the Chief, mm-hmm. And the other plow is the plow that came
with the Savoy truck.
With the new truck that we got.
Yeah.
Which it's a one-way plow, so it tapers from one side to the mm-hmm. other, which isn't a good in-town plow. It's
a big road plow. It's a big road plow. Flat road.
It is. That's what it is. So.
Thanks, Tim. Have a good Christmas.
You too. See you next week. 25th, right?
Yep.
Any questions on those quotes?
Let's
So which, I'm sorry, which ones are you like, would you like to see? The Bonnell one?
They're out of Dixon.
I've already talked about it, so. I'm fine with it.
And the way it came under, that was, that is a used plow, so yes.
Is this a good spreader?
It's a brand new spreader.
Okay.
Brand. Yeah, it's a stainless steel spreader. I think it's something they actually make there, so.
Is the Ron quote new?
What's that?
Is the Ron?
That, yes, both those other quotes are.
Okay.
Yes. I did have Joe Bonnell, he came and stopped by yesterday to kind of take a look at some of the equipment we've got to see if he'd be interested to trade ins on that too. So hopefully we might be able to get a little bit of a break on, you know, if we get a trade in price on some of this stuff. He doesn't want the Ford truck. Not a lot of people want that truck.
Max will take it.
Yeah, Max will take it, yeah.
I think we're going to have to try and sell that truck eBay or government bid website or something just to try and dispose of that. So,
I guess worst case is we'll recycle it.
Yeah.
And it's...
I tell you what, motor transmission, they're great in that truck. Kind of everything else isn't... It's single lot simple.
Somebody just wants the motor.
Yeah, you'd be surprised what you could get for it on eBay or on one of the auction sites.
That's kind of why I want to still leave one file with it.
Mm-hmm.
So
you said you'd go to Bonnell, you'd actually take the truck to Dixon?
Yes.
For a day?
Yep.
That's like, what, 2.5 hours? 3 hours?
It's probably an hour and a half there, an hour and a half back. It's southwest of Rockford.
I'm thinking Dixon Springs or Dixon South.
That's more an hour and a half. That's probably 2.5. Especially in a big trip, it's only going to run 60,
yeah.
65.
Yeah, we got.
So, and then it's how they got an hour estimate how long it's going to take them?
They said they get it done today. I mean, it's not. That hitch isn't a big thing. The spreader, it just getting it
lined up
correctly.
I just wonder if it was something we could maybe do ourselves.
Some of it is getting the time to do some of that. But we're still either going to have to go pick it up or
pay shipping. Yeah. And the Bonnell ones, just the plows will match each other then?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a steel plow. And the other one we have is a hollow plow. It's pretty much the same height. It's the same width. Same attachment on both those plows. So, like I said, whenever he said that he had a used one, it's like, wow, that sounds great. So.
What's the warranty for a new one and a used one? Probably not very long.
I wouldn't think so.
Wow.
You ran into a
that's what I wondered, yeah.
Curve or something that's kind of on us, so. Yes,
sir. The price difference on these new ones is just so huge. If this 7.9 is in your budget, I would say I'll make a motion to approve the purchase of all the items included in the Bonnell quote at $7,920.
And again, it might come in under that.
I'll second.
Who would take it there and spend the day there?
I could probably have Larry do that since he has a CDL.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I just like I said, it's going to be, if they want it up there at 8 o'clock, it's going to be leaving at 5.
Yeah.
Probably not getting back. They take all day till 7 or 8.
Yeah. That truck will get up and scoot down the road, though. I mean, it's it'll move right along. The suck truck, not so much. But that truck will get up and move, so, for a big truck.
Can we get a second?
Yeah.
Yep.
Buffo?
Yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Payne?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Trulock?
Yes.
The only other, well, I've got a couple things here, but the other thing I had on the public works agenda, I just kind of want to get an idea if we're looking to either purchase or lease a front end loader. The backhoe has got issues. We're going to have to do something with that, either replace the backhoe with the backhoe, like replace it with the front end loader, where we can actually get some different attachments for that, you know, in the future. But, and I don't have a straight out purchase price. I got a lease price last year, and John Deere is kind of working up a price again for the new model year. So, what would be a better fit? An outright purchase, a 4 to 5 year lease with a dollar buyout at the end of that? Because I think a lot of municipalities, a lot of townships do that, because they can buy exactly what they want. They don't have to go through the bid process. And, you know, if, say, you want this certain truck or this certain piece of equipment, you can lease it, have that in your budget, and then, like I said, after the 4 to 5 years, then it'll be our machine. So.
I like that idea.
I'd probably get a new purchase price, and then we can compare that and do that kind of.
And it's going to be higher.
Yeah.
Which means we're paying more money than what it would be to just buy it.
Right.
I'm more worried about some 2 years in, something catastrophic happens. We need to just dump money at some project and not have the $20,000-$25,000 in the budget to pay that year's lease.
Yeah.
I'd rather just pay it off outright if we can.
Wasn't this discussed like 2 years ago?
Last year.
I think
last
for
year.
Last
year
budget. It's been about the last 2 years.
Okay.
And, yeah. We probably should have done it last year, because how much money did you dump into the end loader?
Probably
$2,500,
$3,000. And it was
more.
What's wrong with it? It's old. It's, I don't know all the specifics. I mean, tires are good. I mean, you get another year out of those, and we'll have to put new tires on it again.
And this is our backhoe?
The backhoe.
Okay.
Yep.
Do we actually have an end loader?
No,
I didn't think so.
Yeah,
no.
Sorry.
That's all right.
We had the township, they came down and moved a tree for us the other day with their end loader. It's great. I mean,
what year's our backhoe that we have?
It's 15 years old now, I think.
It's got a lot of miles on it. Driving around town picking up brush.
Probably one of our most used pieces.
It is.
Runs about every day.
So it needs to be something where we have a set replacement schedule on, stuff like that. So they also do, I think they have like a buyback program, and I'd have to talk to the salesman about that. But, you know, whenever we purchase it for, you know, say after 2 years, we would get that money back to go towards a new machine. So. And again, I think that's how they used to do it several years ago.
We'll work up some prices, because we need to replace it. And we'll see what we have left in the budget. And then we can, if we don't have it in the budget, then we'll figure it out to the next budget.
That's fine.
So.
Maybe get a couple quotes too, just to Yeah, I'd love to keep our business
right
here, but to do our due diligence.
Yeah. The other thing I've seen on here was possibly discontinued looking services for USIC. I don't have a huge problem with that, but we need to have the equipment to do it with.
Can you get us a price and all that? What would it cost for us to take that back over? Okay.
So.
But I didn't.
What was it? I'm sorry.
It was in last week's or last board packet. Do you remember what the prices were? Because you need a new locator. You need.
Well, they had the locator, and they also had a handheld GPS, so we could actually start mapping some of our stuff. And I don't remember off the top of my head what it is. What the price was? $8,000.
That's the stuff we looked at. They demoed for us last year, the year before.
No,
no, something different.
No.
Okay.
But if we do that, I'd like to have a full-time person that is trained specifically on that, where we can actually. This time of year, it's not a big deal. It's spring, summer, fall when we get, you know, 8 locates a day, you know, during heavy construction season. So, I mean, yeah, it may be for a fence, but we still have to go out and do our due diligence to locate everything that we have in that area. So.
Yeah, because it looked like even in October we still had like 52.
A lot of that was the fiber line, right? Was that October that we're getting charged? Because it all happened the month before. And then the water lines, and then a couple of emergency locates, and then Ameren's doing some work.
I mean,
they're putting a new power line in by my house.
Up. I mean, it's when I estimated what USIC was going to bill us, I had no idea. I mean, I was kind of going by the previous year's calls.
Yeah, because just this month's bill was $3,200.
Usually this time of year, everything's kind of slowing down. So
let's just both of them.
But I'm going off of this here. I'm gonna make sure I'm.
That's the two of them put together.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So October we had 52, in November it looks like we had 38. So that's still quite a few for.
A couple water main breaks, but we didn't locate for those, did we?
One we did, one we did not. So one was an emergency locate. So on a Sunday, something's going to cost you a extra.
It never happened like at 8 o'clock in the morning on a Monday.
When it's warm.
Yeah.
Any questions about locating?
Can you, when you're looking up water bill stuff, look what we spent on locating this year to give us an idea?
And it would be interesting, too, if we find out how many times they've located for us. They charge us, what, 30 minutes-ish?
I think it would go like quarter hour.
Right. Yeah.
So then that would be easy to take that bill and translate it, what it would be for one of you guys to do it. If just go off their numbers.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's not always so much. Yeah, we can do the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
There's meter reads.
Oh, I understand that, yeah. And I'm like, but it would be interesting to kind of compare what it would be.
Right.
And then we can figure in all the ancillary stuff along the lines.
Yeah.
Cause
well, the interesting thing about some of these locates is It says they're only charging $20, but like this one right here, it says they started at 903 and they ended at 243. No, sorry. Start time 152, end time 243 for a tree. Three trees.
But then they charge $20.
Nope. Looks like they started at 318, $20. And charged us $20 for 20 minutes. And they did another one at 1252. I'm sorry, at 152. They charged us $20 for that one. And they did another one here. Two at the same house. And they didn't charge us anything for the second one. Quarter hour. QH is quarter hour. So... I don't know, but some of these, they're on a property for a very long time.
They're on my property forever when they did the locates just in our front yard.
They're probably doing for the entire time of all the utilities.
Yeah,
they're not just doing it, okay, well, we spent 3 minutes on water, 2 minutes on sewer, 8 minutes on sanitary. They're there for power, gas, water, sanitary, storm,
right.
Phone
line, cable, right.
The five that have phones.
Street
right
lighting.
But on this one, 743 to 1056.
I don't know how they locate. I really don't.
And for each one of those, it's $13. So, no, I
know when they did my yard, they were there for a good hour and a half. But they did all of them when they put the new cast line in.
Yeah, that's installing for fiber, so they're usually doing a block at a time.
Okay.
So.
Okay, that would make sense as to why they were in that area. They're doing every house on that area.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot for the company.
Oh yeah, the company costs us thousands and thousands and thousands. It will take probably 30 years to pay in taxes to pay for what they cost us.
So people don't get rid of their telephone. It'll take us even longer.
Exactly. Alright. What else you got for us?
The Daggy demo, that will start, I think, in January.
Perfect.
We've got the dirt stockpiled out by the sewer plant, so we've got all the dirt ready to go.
I've already got tons of compliments on just what you, the stuff that you guys have done. Just tons and tons of compliments on it. People are happy. They'll be even happier when that house comes down.
Mm-hmm. Now, by the statement that we have a lot of the dirt stockpiled by the sewer plant, it's not in an area where if we were to get a lot of snow, little people would be sliding down it, is it?
We already have hills out there from the
slide. I know that. But these would be other hills for them to slide.
We have lots
on
of hills around here.
Well, there is dump trucks that have dumped it, so I mean it's...
Right.
So.
Okay.
They're not going to go very far.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Still hills.
Boom.
This would be the funny slopes.
Any questions for Matt? Any at all? Good to go. All right. We don't really have anything for this, the police department. The bills? Any questions on bills?
So the Interstate Billing Service for the 898.
It's rush trucks.
An airline.
Okay.
Truck.
You need that to stop.
Oh. On the... What is that? Yes, we need to pay that bill. But I do have how we're going to get reimbursed for part of it, though. They bill quarterly. So once we get it, we have to pay it, and then we'll send them the bill. I have no clue how to bill them for the electric for that light, because we don't know how much electric that light takes. And you can't estimate the electric. Say, hey, a normal light takes a certain amount of electric. But since that light is not metered, we can't bill them for the electric for it. But we can bill them for that, and we'll get reimbursed It's the state of Illinois, so sometime in the next 3 years.
So. Oh, for the stoplight?
Yeah, it's for the stoplight. But
it's
not
even worth taking the time to figure out.
Yeah. We but on this we bump portal.
At this point to
yeah.
I can contact.
Well, but there's also other things coming up on this because they want to change the line to get rid of the telephone line in there, right? Kurt.
Yes, and that's something that we can bill them.
And we'll bill them for that too.
They'll pay for half of anything that's done for the operation and maintenance of the traffic signals.
And now we know how to bill them. Matt yes. figured that out, so we've got a contact and
thank you.
Good to go.
Tell them we'll pay it if they add or move this one to Walmart.
I know, right? Maybe we could just do that. I think they'd notice.
That might not be worth it to them.
We'll keep the sticky note on there for them.
Okay. I make a motion to approve bills. All those.
Second.
No call.
Buffo.
Yes.
Morris.
Yes.
Perry.
Yes.
Payne.
Yes.
Stuber.
Yes.
Truelock.
Yes.
Let me see our credits. I don't remember seeing them. All right. Approval of the regular session minutes for December 4th, 2018.
Make a motion to approve the regular session
second.
Minutes.
Yep. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Against? Perfect. Executive
make
session.
Make a motion to approve the executive session. Minutes from November 20th, 2018.
Second.
Roll call.
Buffo.
Yes.
Morris.
Yes.
Perry.
Yes.
Payne.
Yes.
Stuber.
Yes.
Truelock.
Abstain.
December 4th one.
I'll make a motion to approve the December 4th.
Second.
Second.
Roll call.
Buffo.
Yes.
Morris.
Yes.
Perry.
Yes.
Payne.
Yes.
Stuber.
Yes.
Truelock.
Yes.
All right, this ordinance for this lighting thing that's gotten us all beat up on.
I was talking to Trustee Morris about this before the meeting. She's looking at some stuff on the internet. I'm going to be sending some more stuff to her. I'm going to miss your first meeting in January.
Okay.
So you'll have the draft for the January 15th meeting.
Okay, perfect.
I think we can meet that deadline. If not, we'll still first week of February.
All right, the ordinance for disposing of surplus property.
I think that ordinance needs one change.
I was reading it on the screen. I think you want to make a finding.
Isn't that in there? The village hereby declares. But my one change, I think that this should always say by the village board or their designee.
And then we can designate.
And then we can designate to whoever, depending on what needs to be disposed of.
And then, like, if the police department want to get rid of a car, then we can tell Rick to get rid of a car.
And you can designate anybody you want.
Right.
So you might, I probably would suggest make it sold by the village board president.
Yes, that's actually
probably
more specifically what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So we can just make that amendment to it and pass it?
Yeah, that's my only.
Yeah, the change I would stick in there is it's no longer necessary or in the best interest of the village and is.
Sorry, there you go.
Otherwise determined to be surplus property. You just need to make a finding that it's surplus property.
So surplus in front of the word property and may be sold by village president or
yeah.
his or her designee.
That works.
I'll make a motion to approve. With those changes, I'll make a motion to approve ordinance 2018-026.
Second.
Perfect.
Buffo.
Yes.
Morris.
Yes.
Perry.
Yes.
Payne.
Yes.
Stuber.
Yes.
Truelock.
Yes.
All right, discussion approval of the phone notification system. Do you guys want this phone notification system, this rave alert? We have the
I
one.
I think if Brian can just talk briefly to some of the information that he's found, we probably don't want to make any decisions about it today, but just rather get a little bit of things for people to think about?
So you can be recorded, sir.
I think most of this came from when we had the boil orders that we're doing next door and some other postings online. We had a lot of feedback of why didn't I know about this sooner, and Matt's already reaching out to the news agencies, and we're posting online, Facebook, next door, the village website. So that's kind of what prompted us to look into this. Brave is the same system that the U of I uses, as well as Carl. With it, we can do text messaging alerts, phone call, email. If we had road signs, we can tie into that as well.
Can we just tag onto Carl's and just pay a couple hundred bucks on?
If you want the quote online or on your PC, I email it to you too. If you want to play it. We can, it's unlimited messaging, so send as many alerts out as you want. We can go through, if Matt wanted to have it for, hey, we've had a water main break, and he sends out a notification to everyone just within his crew, to, hey, someone who can respond and help with this, you can do that. Talk with some others, including the agency, Rave. If you wanted to allow churches or other organizations to use it as well, that's...
It's just a one-time fee?
It's $3,500 annual with a $1,000 setup fee. I looked at a few other companies. Nixle was the next one. Their annual fee was $4,800 with a $400 one-time setup fee.
Is that however many texts? Or is there a certain amount?
It's unlimited. So you can send out one for every day if you want, telling them happy birthday.
So like ESDA could use it to them.
Yeah, ESDA can use it.
So you can set up the administrators to where, let's say, Randy can send out to everyone in the town, but maybe Rob can only send out to the board members.
That's smart.
That's probably not smart either. So
take his Twitter away.
Exactly. If you wanted
a Twitter account, I never used it.
Let the churches in town use it. You can say, hey, maybe they give you something back for it.
Mm-hmm.
But then they can only send out messages to the
people
users
subscribe.
Who subscribe to that alert. So they can't send out a message to the entire town of, hey.
Could the businesses in town as well?
Yes.
So all someone would have to do, I'm a village resident, and I would go to some phone number to probably say, call me for these alerts.
So what we get, it'd be a web portal the end user, the resident would go to sign up for the alerts. They choose if they want text message, email, phone call, all the above, however they want to be notified. And choose what options they want to subscribe to.
Can they call into the village and have one of our employees do it for them?
Yes.
Okay. So
we can take an Excel sheet and work with Summer to have her go through. And
Rob's
going
to come in on Fridays to take care of that.
Do you want me doing data entry? Just saying.
Yeah, because you'll be all day Monday fixing it.
I know, exactly. It's going to be a long Monday for you.
Are we able to like geofence an area in this?
Yeah, so one of the things that I liked on there, let's say you've got a small block that has a boil order. Instead of sending out text to the entire town,
we're trying
go
to point
online,
and click, and it's
you
this house.
Make a box around what residence you want, and they get the notification to them and versus the entire town. You can choose if you want to do just a text, just an email. When you send out your notification, we can restrict administrators or say, hey, we only want these people to be able to send out a text notification.
And you can do a mix of both.
Yes.
So people don't have a cell phone. I don't know how many people don't have a cell phone, but I'm sure there's people out there that don't. You can send a call to home phone.
Yep. So it makes it one spot you would go to. You post through Rave, and it can post onto our Facebook page.
I saw that.
Okay.
I was up there, but yeah,
so
it's behind me.
So
you can use this to post on Facebook as well?
Yeah, I just have to tie it in, is all.
Okay.
you do there?
You know what, this would be handy for like, hey, these roads are getting oiled and chipped.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we can use it for a lot of stuff.
Really it like also it
will be out like Tuesday, and you're only talking 300 some bucks a month. If we can recover some of that, if people want to use it, it's
it has a database, not that we would hopefully ever need it, but people could put it there, information in of, hey, I have a power dependency requirement for whatever, or I have this special medical condition. If there was ever a natural disaster, you can go to that database to check in and see if there's anything that we need to take care of. You can send out a mass text and, hey, are you okay? And they can respond back, and if they don't, maybe we should look into that further.
Can somebody sign up for more than one? I want to call at home and a text and
yes.
an email. They could do as many as they wanted. There are plenty of people on the go.
They choose as many as they want. You can do it from your, as far as like the admin side. If you've got any mobile device or a laptop, you can do it from there to send out the notifications. The interface is the same on both. I saw a brief demo on it with them.
It's really easy to use, and you put templates in there, so you already have a template. So you'll have a boilerplate template, and you just send it out.
Nice.
It'll be customized to the village, to whatever we want, so we can put our nice logo in there.
And you can test it. You can set up a test account where it sends out a Tuesday test, or we sent out one on accident one time that startled the entire campus, which is kind of...
It'll also...
I forgot to send it to the text.
Weather alerts will come through it automatically as well, so...
Oh, nice, I was thinking
anything
about
like that for...
Will Amber alerts go through it automatically?
We could just have it where Rainy sends stuff out too, like...
Oh, yeah.
I only asked because I was in Meijer last week and the entire store...
Yeah.
Had an alert go off because everyone had Amber Alerts going to
the fake
phones.
One. Yeah. Farmer City.
Like Amber Alerts are ones that'll go through the emergency notification already to all your phones.
Good.
And that's not an opt-in. This is an opt-in system.
Okay.
Cool. All right. You guys want that?
I like it.
$3,500 a year plus the $1,000 one-time setup fee.
Do we
have room for it somewhere?
Do we have room for it somewhere? Do we have
room for it? Or just need to wait till May 1st?
We can wait till May 1st, that's fine. There's money in the budget for it, because
we have a section for community programs.
We do, plus we have...
I know there's stuff left over in the IT.
There's stuff left over in the IT budget. There's stuff left over. But, I mean, we still have, 5 months to go? I mean, we still have a few more months to go. We could approve it, but take a month or two to set it up so it gets closer to the end of the budget to make sure we don't go over on the IT or... but we also have the extra money that we didn't use on the roads. That we just put in the general fund, we didn't put it designated to roads.
How long is this quote for?
What's that?
Is there anything about this that you're worried about?
No, we use it up at Carl, and U of I uses it.
I mean, it's versatile. You can do a lot of stuff with it.
Yeah, it seems that way.
U of I doesn't even do anything. We just use it for text and email alerts. But, and Carl uses it for their signs, too.
Yeah, we can tie into the signs. If we have staffing needs and the census is high, we can send out alerts just to the nursing staff or whatever department. They'll get a, hey, are you available to work and come in extra hours?
If we got really high tech, we could actually put signs on 45 to notify people and stuff. We're not going to, but good.
Hey, can't even get a stop sign. How are we going to do
that? I know exactly. Good point.
Let's find a definitive spot for this, the finances involved, and let's look at this
there's
January
no rush on it.
And see if...
Yeah. I'd even go to March or April.
Yeah, I'm
maybe.
Fine with that.
Yeah.
Well, we need to do some
budget.
Looking at... You printed off some stuff from QuickBooks when I was in the office the other day, and I really didn't go through it that close. But there are some things in QuickBooks where we can print some stuff out, and we can kind of look where we're at. It wouldn't be a bad idea to kind of go over the budget too, just to kind of see where we're at, because we're a little over halfway through.
I have gotten a bunch of feedback from people not knowing about the boil orders.
But and the funny thing about it is we're putting information out.
I think more than we have ever in the past.
I think people
know, but they don't know where to look necessarily.
But we're pushing it out more.
So even me, I don't watch the news. I don't have Facebook. So right there,
we've destroyed our streets out more than we ever had too.
God, I know, it's ridiculous.
So I mean,
this year.
I think it's a worthy cause. Yeah. I didn't even know I had a boil order at my house because I don't read it or watch any of that.
I have people texting me, and
I don't know. I'm south.
I don't know.
Well,
I mean, I think it's a good thing.
Okay. Well, what's,
and I'm good with waiting. I'm just.
Let's revisit it. Maybe the end of January. We'll shoot for the last meeting in January. Hopefully, we'll have time to look at budgets and see where we're at. I'm sure we have the money there, but let's just. I don't want to take it out of IT and then.
We need it.
Then someone drop their computer and have to replace the computer.
Just repop the email. Maybe we shouldn't be good.
Oh, no, it's...
Thank you.
It's all kosher.
Okay. No special events. Do we...
Yes, there is.
Oh. Do we have to... One to approve?
Yep. School district.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that one, actually. My computer went to sleep.
It's right up there if you would like to see it.
How much?
Wow.
Time?
It's pretty cool.
I'll make a motion to waive the special event fee.
Let's first approve the event permit.
I got a question.
Should we do it all at once?
Yes.
Does this need to even be a special permit?
Is it at the school?
It's at the church.
There's no, they're serving alcohol.
They're serving alcohol. It's in town.
But doesn't that just need to be a liquor license with you?
Only if it has alcohol does it need to come to the board.
Okay. Well, I was just meaning, did they need to even apply for a special permit?
I think it's only because of the alcohol.
According to the new, the permit could, Which we always waive the fee anyway because it's a charity.
A second.
Make a motion to approve and waive the fee.
Here's
the
special
permit. Seconded by Ryan.
Sorry.
Started by.
You got that?
Right. Yeah. Finished by Anna. Solidified by that guy.
And it has to be roll call since it's money, right?
Buffo.
Yes.
Morris.
Yes.
Harry.
Yes.
King.
Yes.
Let's go.
That's Clark's
buddy. Yes.
Did you say Stuber? Because I didn't say anything, but yes.
People left out.
We had enough votes. Probably because there's so much talking.
We had enough votes by the time we got to you.
Because
Rob
doesn't ever stop.
You can listen to the tape again tomorrow and make sure it's all correct.
So, anything for executive session? Next meeting is January 2nd, 2019. Anything for the good of the order? I need a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, goodbye.